There's the fanfare. It's time to go to the movies with Matt Olien. And Matt, did you actually go into a movie theater this week, or is this a documentary you saw online?
I skipped the theaters this week, Doug, because there was really nothing to see. So I watched a documentary on Prime Video called The Ghost of Peter Sellers. And this is a fascinating look at an ill-fated movie that was made in 1973 called Ghost in the Noonday Sun, which was never released. And this was a film directed by Peter Medak, who was a Hungarian film director. Doug, you may remember him as the director of The Ruling Class with Peter O'Toole, Day in the Death of Joe Egg with Alan Bates. And so he was on a real roll at this time in the early 70s with back-to-back hits. And the documentary is made by Peter Medak himself. He goes back and tries to recount what happened and how this film nearly ruined his career, thanks to the enormous ego of the star, Peter Sellers. And so he talks to people who were involved in the film. He talks to the producer, John Heyman, who wanted to fire Medak at the time when things weren't going well. And it's really a fascinating look back at a time when a star could really bankroll a film just on their name alone. And so just some backstory here, Doug. The documentary looks great. I mean, it's fantastically shot. It's got a high gloss feel to it. It feels a little scripted, like Peter Medak is kind of knows the ending of this documentary, and he's kind of scripting it along and making it touching and humorous. But the film revolves around a moment when in London, Peter Sellers came up to Peter Medak, and he had been very impressed with The Ruling Class, which was the O'Toole picture I told you about. And he said, "Darling, let's make a movie. We're going to make a comedy set in the 17th century about pirates." And it was a script by his good buddy Spike Milligan. And Doug, you know Spike Milligan was in The Goons with Peter Sellers. They were old friends.
Yes.
So they had the script, they had the star, and suddenly they had $2.5 million to go to Cyprus to shoot this movie. And they probably should never have made the movie, because once they got there, it almost becomes impossible to explain how things happened, but it happened. This is how it happened. They had this pirate ship built. They brought it into the harbor the first day of shooting, and the captain of the ship was drunk, and he hit the rocks, and he damaged the boat. So then they had to fix the boat. Every day when they'd go out to shoot on the sea, the motor would break, and two brothers from Cyprus, the Costa brothers, would have to come out in their boat and tow this huge boat into the harbor for the night. Peter Sellers faked a heart attack during one part of the movie so he could go to London and party and get out of making the movie. And he had a doctor sign a fake thing that he'd had a heart attack. And, you know, Sellers had heart problems. So it was just one thing after another. Sellers wanted to fire Medak at some point. The producers wanted Medak fired. There were cost overruns, delays, days when Sellers refused to shoot scenes. Finally, his old buddy Spike Milligan was brought in to kind of help direct some scenes and kind of turned it into a Monty Python-esque thing. But it turned out so bad, and you see enough clips in this movie of the actual movie to realize how bad it was. Sellers overacts tremendously, that it was never released.
The Ghost of Peter Sellers is the movie. It came out in 2018, and as you mentioned, Matt, or hint at, Peter Sellers didn't just have a drinking problem and an occasional heart problem. He had emotional and mental difficulties as well.
So Peter Medak in this show talks to people that had warned him that Sellers was hard to work with, but he felt he could tangle him. He'd worked well with Peter O'Toole in The Ruling Class, who could be hard to work with as well. So he felt he could wrangle the star, but it turned out to be a disaster. A couple of humorous parts, Doug. Sellers' character name in the movie is a humorous yet vulgar character name that I can't repeat, but maybe you've looked it up online and know what his character's name is. It's quite humorous. The other thing that's funny is the plot of the film, Ghost in the Noonday Sun. Sellers plays the cook on this ship, and eventually he tries to become the captain, and there's buried treasure, and there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Anthony Franciosa was in this movie. He and Sellers hated each other by the end of the movie so badly that they had to film a dueling scene with swords, and they would not appear in the same scene together. So he had to Peter Medak had to cut that together. Peter Boyle is in the movie. I mean, there's some big stars in this, but it just shows you how difficult and risky it is to make movies on location, especially when the star has an ego. And Peter Medak is very good in the film. He talks about, you know, he's not making this film to trash Peter Sellers' memory because he considers him a genius and he loved him. And they actually made up about 5 years after the disastrous shooting. They ran into each other in London when Sellers was shooting another Pink Panther movie. And they made quite a night of it. And all was forgotten, and Sellers had no memory of all the misbehaviors that he had done. Stars get away with a lot, as you know, Doug. But it's a fascinating watch to really go back to a time when there was too much money to spend and stars could get a film made just on their name.
Well, Peter Sellers died at a relatively young age, actually, and he had a fantastic movie career in terms of the movies, the Pink Panther series and all that stuff. I mean, he was a huge name when he was in the 70s, but he had difficulties. I know he has family difficulties. He had multiple wives. He had problems with his kids in terms of the relationship he had with them. So kind of a difficult life and perhaps not uncommon for comics to have this complicated back life.
And in this documentary, Doug, Peter Medak interviews Peter Sellers' daughter, Victoria. He interviews people that worked with Peter Sellers. He interviews his body double. These people are still alive, and they all say the same thing. Like Victoria Sellers says, you know, he always had a new woman with him every time I would see him as a kid. And that's just the way it was. And
he fell in love with Sophia Loren.
Yeah, but that was unrequited. She did not return that love. They made the millionaires together. Yes, he was infatuated with her, but why would she leave her powerful husband, Carlo Ponte, for this British comedian? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of interesting interviews. Robert Wagner's in it, who made the Pink Panther with Peter Sellers. People that worked with him talk about how difficult it was, yet they all acknowledge he was a genius. And one of the interviewers says he clearly had something undiagnosed, some kind of manic thing that caused him to act this way. So a fascinating human being, of course, great comic actor, made a lot of bad movies, made some great ones, of course, Dr. Strangelove being there and a few others. But what he did to Peter Medak was almost ruin his career, if you believe what he's recounting. And there's no reason not to believe it because everybody who's involved in this documentary has the same memories of making the film, that it was a disaster and Sellers had it out for the director.
The documentary is titled The Ghost of Peter Sellers. And where can people see it again, Matt?
On Prime Video.
All right. You mentioned a couple of movies. Mm-hmm. I was surprised when I was reminding myself of Peter Sellers, because I went to a lot of his films, as most people did at that time, that he never won an Academy Award. And you mentioned two movies that he was nominated for Best Actor in a Leading Role, and that was Being There and Dr. Strangelove.
Yes.
And it is, to me, surprising that neither one of those roles actually took home the gold statue. But so let's do a little history here. Dr. Strangelove came out in 1964, so it would have been eligible for the 65 Oscars. Who won Best Actor in a Leading Role in 1965?
That was Rex Harrison and My Fair Lady.
Well done. And Being There was on screen in 1979, so it was up in front of the 1980 Oscars. Who won Best Actor in a Leading Role in 1980?
Dustin Hoffman and Kramer versus Kramer. And Sellers should have won. He should have won for one of those roles, for sure.
All right. We've been to the movies with Matt Olien.